Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you needed a pick-me-up, we got just the thing for you. Facepalm Friday is coming up. And I always enjoy it when you send me your tweets, your pictures, your gifts about Facepalm Friday, or your own personal Facepalm Friday moments. We got a couple of phone calls this week again, but also the epitome of drama that provides the perfect Facepalm Friday moment. Oh my gosh. And the fans in this particular city where this athlete plays, they're smart. They picked up on it and they've just added to the mess. So I'm excited to share that one with you coming up. It'll be 15 minutes from now, our first Facepalm Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our NBA playoff series polls are ongoing. In fact, the Warriors poll may still be ongoing as well. So check those out either on my Twitter or on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and our Facebook page is named after the show. If you're listening in San Diego, I want to know. We've got a brand new affiliate in Southern California. You should spread the word. I tweeted about it, but 97.3 The Fan, first night that we've got a home in San Diego here on After Hours. So that's really cool. We get a lot of people who want to listen in Southern California. We had an affiliate for a while in LA, and then we lost it when it turned to Spanish music, I think, Hispanic music. And now we've got a new one in 97.3, an FM station that's all sports and will carry our show. So that's pretty cool. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It had been a while since we'd heard a whole lot about Colin Kaepernick, at least as it pertains to a potential new home in the NFL. Kaepernick is still in the midst of his collusion case, or the case he's trying to make against the NFL. And so he recently sat for his deposition with NFL attorneys in New York. And again, this is him accusing the league under the umbrella of the CBA. This is not a lawsuit in a court of law, but under the umbrella of the CBA, he has the right to file a grievance, and he's accusing the league of conspiring to keep him out of the NFL because of his activism, because of his protests. And he's trying to prove that case right now. And so there are depositions. There will be on both sides. It's a slow moving deal, not any faster moving than what you get in the actual court systems. But there hasn't been a whole lot of news around Kaepernick other than that until Thursday, when we had a report from Adam Schefter, NFL insider for ESPN, that the Seahawks had tabled, for now, a workout with Kaepernick when he declined to say he would stop kneeling during the national anthem. So they were considering him, are considering him. This is not a done deal. Apparently, they're still thinking about bringing him in for a workout and still considering Kaepernick as a viable option for their backup job to Russell Wilson. They are considering other quarterbacks, too. Remember, they were one of the last teams, though. In fact, they were probably the last team after he became a free agent in 2016 to work him out. And so the Seahawks were thinking about him again. And according to Schefter, got in touch with Kaepernick's agent, arranged a workout a couple of weeks ago. And then after they made travel arrangements, the trip was postponed for now, because the Seahawks wanted some assurances that he would not continue to protest during the national anthem, and he declined to give it. Now, that's Schefter's version. That's what his source is saying. I saw Ian Rappaport tweeting that his source didn't say the exact same thing. His source indicated that the Seahawks had asked Kaepernick for a plan moving forward, asked him what he wanted to do this season in terms of his public profile, in terms of how he would handle the national anthem and any potential protests, and he didn't have an answer for them. And so that's why they postponed the workout. And again, it's still open. They're still thinking about working him out. They're still thinking about who they will use as a backup to Russell Wilson. But for now, it's been tabled. Regardless, the Seahawks, regardless of which source you believe or which one is more accurate, this caught my eye for one major reason, not just because it's Kaepernick, but because the Seahawks had been on the front lines of this for a couple of seasons now, supporting its players publicly. The franchise had talked publicly about being proud of guys who would take this risk, who would take this public stance, whether they agreed or didn't agree. The Seahawks had been supportive of guys who chose to protest during the national anthem to draw attention to their causes, whether social injustice, social inequities. Different players have had different particular focuses of their protests. And so that, to me, was really interesting. If the reports are correct, that they wanted Kaepernick to say, no, I won't kneel during the national anthem. And that's why they temporarily postponed this workout. That's a real shift in philosophy for the Seahawks. Because again, they had said all along, they'd had multiple players who had protested during the national anthem over the last few years. And had said all along that they supported the right of these players to do so. And so, regardless of the specifics, this is definitely a shift in philosophy and a shift in behavior for the Seahawks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, no team has worked out Kaepernick since the Seahawks, going back to his original free agency in 2016. So after the 16 season, so I guess it would have been early 17 when he became a free agent. There have been, of course, different situations, different teams where he's been listed as a potential option, as a potential QB. You remember the report about the Ravens considering him as a backup, and then there was a tweet or an Instagram post by his girlfriend that was offensive to the owner, Steve Bisciotti, and they withdrew any idea. They just said absolutely not any idea that they might give him a shot. There was again, I don't remember if it was a tweet. It was a social media post that accused Steve Bisciotti of being a racist. And so there have been some moments where we've heard about Kaepernick, but not a whole lot of them have pertained to football. It's been about this collusion case. It's been about posts by his girlfriend. It's been about different tweets here or there. It's been a lot of him getting attention, even doing an interview or two here or there, but not about football. And there was always this idea that he would fit well with Seattle, not only because of his style of play. And he's continued to work out, according to sources, according to his camp. He's continued to work out because he wants to play. Seattle was considered to be a good fit. And I thought, along with a lot of other people, thought that the Seahawks would be a good spot for him because of how they'd supported their players in speaking up or in kneeling, in standing up for what they believed in a way that was divisive. The Seahawks had said, that's okay. And so this is interesting. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals just visited with Eric Reed, who's the free agent safety, most recently with the Niners, and they wanted assurances from him that he would not participate in, and the phrase is on-field activism. Really, the only thing they can do on-field would be protesting during the national anthem. The NFL has had options, has had meetings, and had the option of bringing up national anthem protests with its union leadership, with the Players Council, and has declined to do so. So the league as a whole is not going to say guys can't kneel or protest during the national anthem in whatever way they choose. The league has declined to step into that particular camp and say, we're going to outlaw it. And they've had a couple of different opportunities. But what we have seen is that the league has offered to spend a ton of money drawing attention and awareness to some of the causes that are really important to players. And as a result, you've had guys who said, okay, because of that, because the NFL has agreed to make this important, to make this a priority, to draw attention to the things that matter to us, well, then we will not protest during the national anthem anymore. So it's not everyone, and it's not been across the board, and it's not mandated by the league, but it is something that players have seen and themselves have decided, okay, they've said, we won't protest anymore. Malcolm Jenkins is a big name that comes to mind. He was part of that players group that met with the NFL a couple of different times. He's been really vocal about what matters to him. He's on his own time, worked in South Philadelphia to try to understand what law enforcement is doing, to try to bring awareness to some of the inequalities for the people that are so important to him. But he's indicated that he won't protest during the national anthem anymore. And he did that after the NFL pledged these millions of dollars. So this was kind of a surprise to me. Now, I was not hopeful that Kaepernick was going to be back in the league this year. And people have asked me about this over and over. Why isn't Kaepernick getting a shot? Why isn't he getting workouts? And my response has been the same. You're suing the league under the CBA. You're attempting to get the collective bargaining agreement completely thrown out. You're trying to prove that owners in the NFL were colluding against you, were blackballing you. I mean, how many people do you know? How many companies do you know that would hire someone, give someone a job, pay someone a contract when they're being sued or when they're being targeted? And so it didn't surprise me that he wasn't getting any looks, that he wasn't getting any offers, because he's trying to throw out their whole labor deal, which is extremely favorable to the owners. He's put himself in a combative position and put the owners on the defensive. And so the Seahawks, at least for now, have said, well, we're going to think about this a little bit more. What's your reaction to that? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Now, I'll give you my stance again. I've said this over and over and over again. I'm pretty consistent in this. I don't like the national anthem protests. I think it's disrespectful. But as long as the league doesn't outlaw it, and as long as the owners don't write in this rule or make it policy that the players have to stand, that they can't protest, well, then they're well within their rights. Now, these are private employers. Regardless of freedom of speech, these are bosses and employers. They're companies. And companies are allowed to have policies. They're allowed to have rules. It doesn't mean that these employers are squashing freedom of speech if they don't want you to protest on their time. On your work time, on your company time. There are a lot of things that I do outside of CBS that I wouldn't do here. There are a lot of things that I would say off the radio that I won't say on the radio because I have an employer and my first responsibility is to my employer. Not to mention we have company policies that we have to sign, that we have to agree to as a condition of our employment. So it's not illegal for the Seahawks or any other team to set down employee policies and to say, here's what we expect of you. I have no idea if they'd ever put it into a contract, but as an employer, as a private employer, they're within their rights to have specific conditions for their employees. And it's also the right of that particular employee to go find a job somewhere else if he doesn't like those conditions. I mean, that's business. So the league hasn't taken that stance, but we've certainly heard owners indicate that they do not want to have guys on their rosters that aren't going to stand for the national anthem or they're going to protest. And you don't have to like it, but certainly that's within their rights as employers. But this one's interesting because Seattle has been more open to it. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Honestly, there is another personnel issue in the NFC West that I feel like should be getting far more attention than Colin Kaepernick. It's disturbing. I'll get to it next here on After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm seeing some of your tweets in reaction to the Colin Kaepernick news, the story that the workout was postponed by the Seahawks when he either didn't have a plan moving forward or declined to say that he would stop protesting during the national anthem. There is still a possibility that there is a workout with the Seahawks as they look for a backup QB to Russell Wilson. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. In my opinion, as much as, again, I'm do not like the national anthem protests. They're not hurting anyone. They're not crimes. And even right now, they're not against NFL policy. And yet that story with Kaepernick, for a lot of reasons, is getting far more attention, far more discussion than what's going on with the 49ers and one of their young, talented players. And I have no idea why Reuben Foster hasn't been already dumped by the Niners. This is their young linebacker who now has been arrested multiple times, has failed at least one drug test with the NFL, and on Thursday was charged with three felonies, including domestic violence, in connection with an arrest that was made back in February. So you may have heard the details back then, but police responded to a call at his home. There was a conversation with Foster then. The alleged victim flagged down a stranger's car so that she could call police. She got out of the house. She flagged down a stranger's car. She called 911. The police then responded, spoke to Foster at the time. She went to the hospital, and what she told police is that Foster dragged her around by her hair, punched her in the head 8 to 10 times, again, according to her account, ruptured her eardrum, that was later determined at the hospital, and then physically threw her out of the house. And so he was arrested then. But now the charges have been filed, and domestic violence with a charge that he inflicted great bodily injury, forcefully attempting to prevent a victim from reporting a crime, and possession of an assault weapon. When the authorities got to his house, they found a weapon that was illegal and also, I think, some ammunition. And so these are all felonies. And yet the Niners will only say they're monitoring the situation, and that I don't get. Even if these charges somehow get miraculously dropped, we know for first-time offenders, sometimes there can be deals that are worked out. I mean, just a couple of different things come to mind. The Johnny Manziel situation, even the Ray Rice situation with his now wife, and that was an obvious video that told you everything you needed to know. Their records have been expunged after they completed some court-mandated conditions. So counseling, whatever, whatever, whatever. So there is a possibility that none of these charges could stick, though these are felonies, which is a little bit different than misdemeanors. But it's not about what's going on in the court system. And we know the NFL and the teams are not bound by what happens in the court system. It's interesting because they had another player not that long ago. Was it Tremaine Brock that got cut right after he was arrested for domestic violence? Certainly makes you wonder if it's about the talent that Reuben Foster brings to the field. And so right now the Niners are monitoring the situation, even though he's been charged with three felonies. And it's not the first time that he's been arrested. Got arrested in January, too, I think, in Alabama for possession of pot. To me, this is a much bigger issue. It's a much bigger story. It's a much bigger problem that this guy's going to participate in off-season workouts and that the Niners are just going to monitor this situation. She went to the hospital. She was treated for injuries. She had a ruptured eardrum. No doubt that there's a police report and pictures. Now, we don't have it yet because the investigation is ongoing. But if the DA's office felt strongly enough to charge him with three felonies, we're not talking about a his versus her situation, her account versus his account. Now, he was in court on Thursday, and actually his new teammate, Richard Sherman, was there too to provide him with support, he said, because Foster doesn't have any family in the area. But if Foster is accused of physically attacking this woman, leaving her bruised with a ruptured eardrum. And for now, he's going to participate in their workouts. Gosh, I don't care how talented he is. And I know there are a lot of fans who only care about the talent and don't care about what he does off the field. But regardless of whether or not he gets off, these are crimes. To beat up another person, to leave bruises on another person's body, to rupture a person's eardrum, to scare a person half to death. You don't actually have to lay hands on someone for it to be a crime. You can scare someone. That's the whole assault and battery situation. But either way, put yourself in her shoes for those of you who think it's no big deal and you don't care what he does off the field. The 28-year-old young woman who was probably afraid for her life literally had to get away and flag down a stranger to be able to call 911. And she did. She did call 911 and she did go to the hospital and she's cooperating with authorities. Certainly doesn't sound like a woman who, and I got this from a tweeter earlier, caused the bruises on her own, who hurt herself. Yeah, I guess that's always a possibility, like me becoming an astronaut sometime in the next year. Come on. And yet it never fails. Every time I talk about domestic violence, someone writes back, oh, she could have hurt herself. I think the Niners should make a move. I think they should do it now and get out in front of it. You want people to believe that your organization is against domestic violence and cares about supporting victims? Well, then make a move now. The NFL likely will, even if you don't. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It only took 5 minutes before I got called a card-carrying white supremacist. Oh, my Lord. You people are nutso, some of you on social media. Whatever. I do appreciate that you're listening, though. Whatever your reaction is, thanks for tuning into the show, and thanks for weighing in on social media. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Looking forward to a huge sports weekend. It's April, after all. And so what are you all about? What are you jazzed up about? Lots of baseball for sure, though. It would be great if it wasn't baseball in the elements. I've heard a couple of theories about how baseball attendance is down in a bunch of cities because the weather has been, well, it's not been springy everywhere. There's been a lot of tumultuous weather early on, not to mention some games that have been postponed because of snow. So baseball on tap, as well as the NBA playoffs, which will start on Saturday and Sunday, and then NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, hashtag because it's the cup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Alan is listening in Pittsburgh. Alan, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, I love the show.
Thank you.
I have a few questions for you. First question is, when was the last time somebody won the Stanley Cup three times in a row, and how do you think the Penguins' chances are on the playoffs this year?
Well, I think the Penguins are great. I mean, they're one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL, obviously, and it's really difficult to wrest the cup away, to knock off a champ in any sport, really, but with a team that has as much experience and talent as they do. We're talking about a core that obviously has been together for the last 2 years, not all of them, but Sidney and Evgeny, and now Matt Murray's got a ton of experience between the pipes. For them to be able to come out and make that statement in their first game against the Flyers. Flyers played terribly, did not take advantage of their opportunities early, and it's only one game, but they look fantastic and they look primed, and the fact that so many of these guys have now been through this the last couple of years, I think, is a huge advantage for them. The Islanders in the 80s, I believe, won four cups in a row. I don't remember the exact years, but it's been since the 80s.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you listening. Enjoy your night in Pittsburgh. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so you've got the phone number, 855-212-4227. You've also got Twitter and Facebook. But we love when we get a chance to do Facepalm Friday, and I have the epitome, the perfect story for this week, Facepalm Friday. It's been playing out over the last couple of days, setting us up perfectly for this show.
Facetious, flaky, and farcical.
We're morons.
Checking out the fallacious feedback of the week. It's time for Facepalm Friday.
So the Cleveland Cavaliers fans are already on to this story, but I thought I'd share it with the rest of the country. It's actually getting play on TMZ, on Deadspin, on People.com. Why? Well, because Tristan Thompson is currently in a relationship with Khloe Kardashian. They've been together for a while, though this last week there have been a bunch of headlines for all the wrong reasons. All right, picture this. Khloe Kardashian is in her third trimester with her child, waiting to give birth to their daughter. So she's in Cleveland. Tristan Thompson gets on the court to play on Wednesday night. He didn't start, but he came off the bench, and when he came into the game, fans were booing him. This is one of their guys, one of the guys that helped them win a title and break that, well, forget the drought, just help them win their first title in franchise history, come back from a 1-3 deficit in the NBA Finals. He gets booed by his own fans when he gets into the game, and then when his face is shown on the Megatron there in Cleveland. Why? Well, because hours before his bae is about to give birth, there are pictures and videos of him making out with other chicks.
It just pisses me off.
He's allegedly, reportedly caught on tape cheating on his girlfriend who's about to give birth. And so the Cavaliers fans got wind of this because it was all over the place. It was on TMZ. Like I said, it was on People. It was covered on major news organizations, at least their websites. I think I originally saw it on Fox News. So he gets booed because Cavaliers fans know there are reports that she went ballistic, but she can't go anywhere because she's in her third trimester about to give birth. And wouldn't you know, Thursday morning, here comes the baby. Into this. Now, I don't know what the baby's name is, but it is a daughter. And Khloe had her family around her, a couple of her sisters and her mom. And yes, Tristan Thompson. Oh, could you imagine what it was like to be in that birthing room? It's a very happy occasion, but think about the tension. There's a lot of reasons for the baby to cry. No, births are always amazing, and giving life is always an incredible experience. But still, I'm putting myself in the shoes of the family. Let's just say it was one of my loved ones, my best friend, who had her husband cheat on her, and so they split up. There's no way that I'd be able to play nice if the guy was in the room.
Hey, baby.
Not even for an occasion like this. Ah. Facepalm Friday.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Oh my gosh, poor Chloe. Pictures, videos, allegations, hours before she's about to have a baby. Oh my gosh.
Be careful what you ask for.
At least her family was there. So yeah, Tristan Thompson, you get the hashtag this week. Hashtag, where's our voice god? He says it better than me.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just this relationship goes back 16 months and already had some challenges because a few months into their relationship, Tristan Thompson became a father for the first time to his son that obviously was not from Chloe.
So if that's what he wants to do, I think it's great.
No, it's not great, in my opinion.
It's called karma.
To be cheating on your girlfriend who's about to give birth to your daughter, if for no other reason than that could cause complications and the glass case of emotion of pregnancy. It's bad enough, for heaven's sakes, all the hormones. Oh, I actually feel bad for her. Though I get it. People make their own decisions, la, 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 but still. The best part, well, there is no best part. The part that makes me laugh is that Cavaliers fans were booing him. Their own guy in their own arena. They're booing him when he gets into the game. Oh, my gosh.
Is over.
Oh, no, actually, the playoffs are just beginning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, hashtag Facepalm Friday. Did you find a good gift this week for Facepalm Friday, Tom? You always come
up. Yeah, I got
with
a couple already.
Yes. Okay. So check out our show Twitter. Tom loves this. Oh.
Yeah, my last one's great.
Is that Cinderella?
Alice
in Wonderland?
Really know that.
Who is that?
It's a good question.
I mean, there are cards behind her.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
That
it's
might
Alice.
Be Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good.
Inappropriate.
No, she went down the rabbit hole like we do. We go down the rabbit hole to
it's
find.
It's actually very appropriate.
Yes, to find these exhibits for Facepalm Friday. So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, 855-212-4227, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking about the NBA, not so much the playoffs, but we'll segue right into the NBA postseason. I mentioned in our first hour that the attendance record for the NBA was over 22 million this year, fourth straight season in which they've had record numbers of fans in attendance at their arenas. I'm interested to see how the ratings go this year because first half, and by this year, I mean the postseason, the first half of the season, ratings were up 20% for the league. Various platforms, which they carry national games or regional games, 20% more fans were tuning in. The ratings were ballooning. They were swelling. And I think back to last spring when the ratings for the first few rounds were lagging. They kind of went the way of the NFL and pretty much every other sport that's seen declining ratings. But yeah, people were not interested in watching one team sweep its way through to the NBA Finals, even if it was the Golden State Warriors with all of their star power. And then they weren't interested in seeing from the East a team rumble through with only one loss, but the matchup itself in the finals. So the ratings were way down for the early rounds of the postseason, but the finals themselves had huge ratings, even though I think you look back and it was, I don't want to say it was lopsided. The series itself was lopsided. Remember, was it game 3? I don't remember which one they won, but game three, maybe that they were so close to taking that game in Cleveland. And then Kevin Durant, I guess the Cavaliers went, the last 2.5 minutes or so without scoring. And Kevin Durant hit that triple in LeBron James' face. Remember that moment? So Kevin Durant took over and had kind of his first NBA Finals run. That was game three. And then game four, of course, the Cavs won. And that was all kinds of drama. That was just all kinds of drama in game four. So there, you know, they could have been tied 2-2. But regardless, even though it was a series in which the Warriors were able to finish off the Cavs 3-1.
Yes.
And one of the big villains now in sports, Kevin Durant, or at least he was a year ago, is probably worn off a bit. They still got huge ratings. Michael Jordan-esque ratings. And I feel like these playoffs are going to be even better. They're going to be even more wide open. And one of the series that I'm really looking forward to is Philadelphia as the 3 seed in the East taking on Dwayne Wade and the Miami Heat.
They obviously are playing phenomenal basketball with a lot of confidence, and we have to go to their home court, start this thing off. We think it's going to be a great series, you know, versus, you know, 2 teams that, you know, really play hard, you know, all the way through and through. So it's going to be the little things that's going to win the series for either team, and we're looking forward to the challenge. But they're a very good team that's impressed us and impressed a lot of people. But we worked all year to get to this point from not making the playoffs to now 6 seed. You know, we're looking forward to it.
So Dwayne Wade back in Miami. This is a really neat story too, right? Because he's won 3 NBA championships there. He is their guy. He's the one, and he's been welcomed back with open arms. He's had these stretches where he's really been able to infuse some energy and life into the team. And now they're going against the Sixers, who are young and upstart in many cases, but have won 16 in a row to grab the 3 seed in the East. So I'm looking forward to that. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Check it out at geico.com. It's a Facepalm Friday after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.